Welcome to Optimize Your Retirement, presented by Higher Ground Financial Group. This is the radio show and podcast dedicated to helping you navigate common financial challenges on the path to a successful retirement. Tax attorney Daniel Rasby and his father, Raz, have a passion for guiding people towards financial freedom by helping individuals understand and reduce the three biggest retirement killers: risk, fees, and taxes. Now, let's begin. Here's your host, tax attorney Daniel Rasby.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Imran Rasby of Raz and Daniel at Higher Ground Financial Group, riskfeesandtaxes.com.
Yes.
So we're going to talk a little bit about estate planning and trusts and wills and, you know, what's worth it, what's not, what you should have.
Yes. So a lot of people have heard you should have a will. It's good to have a will. And
I even heard you can write a will on a napkin and sign it.
Yeah, it is. Definitely valid if you write a will, as long as it's handwritten. You could write it yourself with no witnesses even. But is that what you want? Probably not, because you want to make sure it's done properly, that it's going to hold up in court and so on. So besides just a will, there's also trusts, and you can have many different kinds of trusts. So on the basic side, the reason you would want a trust instead of a will is a few different things. First of all, a will still goes through probate.
So define probate. What's probate?
So when you die, your assets and everything go through a court process where the court decides where the money goes, where the assets go. And if you don't have a will, then they have a default will they'll make for you. And depends on the state. You know, each of your descendants get a percentage. And every estate's a little bit different on that. That's called intestate succession. If you do have a will, then they'll try to follow that, but it's still a public process, meaning everybody that you know, or anybody that you don't know, strangers, they all are going to know all your details about how much money you had and who it went to. And depending on the state and the amount of your assets, it can take anywhere from a few months to a few years to go through probate. So probate is not a process you usually want to go through if you have any sort of assets to transfer, especially real estate. And because most of your assets, if you have a large amount of assets, they can transfer with beneficiaries, and that goes outside probate. If you have life insurance or annuities or even investment accounts with the transfer on death or beneficiary listed, then that goes outside of probate. So the main thing that's still going to go through probate that's a big asset is your house or other real estate property.
And there are some things called the TOD in some states, transfer on death, or you can put your child on a title, but that doesn't really make a lot of financial sense, and we'll explain why in a few minutes.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and talk about that.
Okay.
So if you put your kids on the deed now, you're thinking, well, I'll bypass probate because I'll put them on the deed now. Now they own the house already, and when I die, they'll keep owning it, so there won't be any need to go through probate. Well, it does solve the probate problem, but it's going to create a new tax problem. So think about it this way. Let's say you bought your home a long time ago, and it was only worth $250,000. And now it's worth $1 million, but it's been 25, 30 years. So your home is worth $1 million. You put your kids on the deed. Let's say you put your son on the deed with you. So now you're both on the deed. There's no taxes due at this time. But when you die and he wants to sell that house, he'll pay tax on the difference from what you bought it originally, $250,000. Even though that was 20 years before he was even on the deed, he's going to pay tax from that point all the way up to whatever it's worth at that time, which might be more than $1 million.
And if he inherits it from a trust, he gets a step up in basis, so he will not pay any capital gains tax.
Correct. So really, if he inherits with a trust or a will, you get a stepped up basis. So putting him on the deed is actually even worse than having a will and not a trust. So that's the worst of the options, is to put them on the deed now. If the home has gone up in value, then that's usually a bad idea.
And there's other problems too. If you put your child on a deed and they're married and they get divorced, now that house becomes a contestable property that may end up having to be sold to go part to the ex. So
exactly.
You open yourself up to liability, to other issues and challenges. It's just not a safe thing.
Right.
And so if somebody sues, if your child is in an accident, you know, that house is now up for a liability there as well. So you expose yourself to a lot of things if you put your daughter or son on the deed of your house. So right off the bat, don't do it. It's not smart. Don't do it.
Exactly. And the other thing people would say is, well, instead of the expense of hiring a lawyer to write up a will or a trust, which is even more expensive, you know, why would I do that? Let's just do a transfer on death deed. So now we solve that stepped up basis problem. They don't get the deed until I die, but it also skips probate. If you have one kid only and you want to make sure they get all the property right away and there's no restrictions on it, then that can actually work fine. And you might not need a trust if you only have one child and you want, and they're going to get everything. But the problem becomes if you have more than one child. See, I'm the oldest of 13 children. Raz has 13 children here. And so if we all go on one deed of the house, that's going to be a nightmare to try to figure out who wants to do what with it. Because think about it. Even if you have two or three children, you leave the house to them. They all go on the deed, so it skips probate. But now what do you do with that property? Well, one of them wants to sell it. One of them wants to rent it out. One of them wants to move into it maybe. And so they continue to argue and fight. And I meet people all the time that inherited a house 15 or 20 years ago, and they still haven't been able to do with it anything with it because the one cousin will not sign off on anything, and they all have to agree before anything is done. So when you put multiple people on a deed, that's a problem. Now, that's actually a problem even if you have a trust. See, most of the trusts that I've reviewed for clients, they just say the house, they say everything gets split among the kids. So ultimately, that means all the names are still going on one deed. And that's not a good recipe for success and for emotional stability of the children. It's better if you, as a parent, can determine ahead of time what you want to be done with the house. The trust can say the house must be sold, or the trust can say the house may not be sold for 5 years or 10 years or whatever, or the house must be rented out, or whatever you want to decide. You can decide ahead of time so your children don't have to make that decision and fight with each other over it.
Because when you introduce several people and their spouses and their kids.
And a lot of money.
There's a lot of stresses that can happen. I mean, somebody could be needing money right now to go to college. Somebody could be needing money for something else. And then it just makes much more sense. It's your money, your house, your property, and you earned it. Why don't you make the decision before you pass away to put it, dispose of it correctly so that there's no argument, no questions about how what's going to happen.
Right. So make sure that even if you have a trust, the trust specifies what should be done with your real estate. And maybe you think, well, I've solved this problem. I have three properties and I have three kids. I'm going to give one to each. Well, what if they're not the same value? So now you got to figure out, is that equitable? Is that really what you want? So there are some ways to handle that as well. But, you know, when you contact us and see what we can help you with, we have two companies. We have Higher Ground Financial Group, and then I have my law firm, Higher Ground Legal, where we do the estate planning and actually do prepare wills and trusts for clients. And so again, go to our website, riskfeestaxes.com, and you can learn more and talk to us. We'll schedule a Zoom call with you, a video call. All of our meetings are done virtually, and we'll be happy to give you fiduciary advice on how to reduce your risk, fees, and taxes, especially relating to estate planning, but really on any topic you have a question on.
Yeah, we'd be happy to answer questions. You don't have to actually hire us, but if you have questions, we'd be happy to answer those questions on if you go to the website, riskfeestaxes.com, and make the appointment, and we'll go from there.
Right. And what is a good age to start thinking about estate planning? When should you really start?
As soon as you own a property. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you own a property, you should have a trust.
Or if you have kids. I think if the kids are young and they're not. So you see, here's another thing that comes up sometimes is if your kids are young and maybe you don't have a lot of assets, but you have a life insurance policy, some term life insurance that will replace your income. Well, what if you die and the kids get that? Well, if they're minors, they're not allowed to own money. So the court is going to appoint somebody who will charge a hefty fee to manage that money for them unless you have a trust set up or you have a person that is in place that can handle that. So if you have young kids under 18 and or if you have property, you really should be starting to think about a trust as soon as possible.
And on that line, you should also have power of attorneys on each other, so your spouses, as well as your children. As soon as they turn 18, you should have a power of attorney on them because even if they're out to college or out on vacation someplace, something happens, you need to be able to make decisions if in case of an emergency. And without a power of attorney, you can't.
Right.
So all those things are part of planning for the estate. There's a lot of things that go into it, and there's a lot of interesting things you can do with a trust as well. We had a client that really wanted to restrict how much his kids or grandkids got, and they wanted to make sure that their credit was good, meaning that they didn't rack up a whole bunch of debt and credit cards. So every year, they'd meet at the trustee's office, and and have to get their credit pulled, make sure they didn't have any credit card debt before they could take money out of the trust. That just promotes good, healthy, debt-free lifestyle.
Exactly.
So if you just do a will, there's really no prolonged control that you have. With a trust, you have prolonged control over your assets for many years, possibly.
And some people ask us, well, can't I just do it myself? I mean, you can go to any number of websites and download a free trust or pay a couple $100 and get a trust. If I go to an attorney's office, they're going to charge me several $1,000s to do a trust. So why would I not just download a free one online? Well, it can work for some people, but it's usually not recommended because it does not take into consideration. Those online forms do not take everything into account that is unique to you, and there's no legal advice that you're getting with that. So there are a lot of things that can come up that you do not anticipate, and if you have a reputable law firm that actually creates the trust for you, they've thought about a lot of those issues, and they can help guide you to write a trust that's very that will hold up to time. Like just the other day, I reviewed a trust for somebody that had done it himself, and he had a very common mistake, which is to have all of his kids as joint trustees and joint executor, and that's something that is easy to do by mistake in an online form, but it's a terrible idea. Because now all of the kids have to agree before anything is done with anything, not just to whether to sell the property, but just even where to send the money and how much to value different things and who to hire to
cut the grass.
Yeah, so it's really a bad idea to have multiple people as trustees. So there are ways to handle that. If you want to make sure your kids don't feel left out, you can make one of them the trustee. You can make one of them in charge of the burial. You can make one of them in charge of medical decisions while you're in your last days. So there's a lot of different things you can do to spread out that responsibility. But you definitely want to have one person the trustee. And then if they're unwilling or unable, then the next person becomes trustee. So those are some things to think about. And again, if you have a law firm like our firm that is helping you with that, then you're going to anticipate those, or we're going to anticipate those needs for you. So again, go to our website, riskfeestaxes.com, and talk to us, schedule a free meeting. There's no cost to talk to us for 15 minutes and find out whether it's a good fit to work with us. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Optimize Your Retirement. To take the next step and receive personalized guidance tailored to your specific financial situation, schedule your free call with tax attorney Daniel Rasvi. Visit riskfeestaxes.com. That's riskfeestaxes.com. Or call 888-263-HGFG. That's 888-263-4434. We look forward to hearing from you.
Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy. Higher Ground Financial Group does not provide securities investment advice. No part of this program should be construed as advice to buy, hold, or sell any security. Any mention of securities is incidental and for educational purposes only. Legal and tax advice provided through Higher Ground Legal Incorporated, pursuant to signed retainer agreement, if applicable.